Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
Habakkuk is where we are. Habakkuk was a contemporary with the prophet Jeremiah. We don't know a lot about him. In fact, you almost know all that there is to know right now. At the end of the book of Habakkuk, he will sign it to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. So we will know that he is not only a prophet, but he's also a musician. Habakkuk, it's either Habakkuk or Habakkuk. It's either, you know where they put the last spike in of the railroad? It's either Craigalachie or Craigalachie. I remember someone asking for directions to Shaganapee Trail. So it's Shaganapee or it's Shaganapee. It's Habakkuk or Habakkuk. I think his name probably really at this point really only matters to him, how you pronounce it. But here's what his name means. It means embrace. It means embrace. Embracing God's love. God's love embracing us. But his name means embrace. I don't know if he gave a lot of hugs or got a lot of hugs or if they called him Huggy. But at the end of our time together this morning, we're going to talk more about his name, and you don't have to panic. We're not looking for a group hug. We're going to talk about that. Well, let's. All right. I'd like to be able to spend a little longer than I'm going to this morning on the book and setting the tone of all that's taking place about the king of Egypt, King Necho, defeating the Assyrians, King Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian, defeating the Egyptian king Necho and coming to this place of convergence in the book of Habakkuk. But it just suffice it to say, aren't you glad God's in control of the nations? Wherever you see nations at war or struggling or turmoil or strife, we can step back and say God is sovereign. And he's not sweating any of it. And he can use kings and kingdoms, godly ones and ungodly ones, to bring about his plans and purposes. It's important, or at least it's probably insightful or helpful to know, the book of Habakkuk, it covers about 66 years. And so it's just three chapters. And sometimes we read, and we will read where he says, "Oh Lord, how long?" And then we move on to the next verse. But it's 66 years. In fact, this week, I decided when I was going to read the book out loud. So I didn't at any kind of breakneck speed. I just took my Bible and I read the book out loud. And it took just over 6 minutes. You say, well, I could do that faster. It wasn't just 6 minutes, just reading the book. And so for about every minute I read, 10 years had passed. 66 years. And so when he cries out, how long? There's a real wrestling in his heart. If we were to break the book up into sections, there's probably about five sections that could help give us a summary of the book. It goes like this. Habakkuk has a problem. And he prays. Number two, God answers. Number three, Habakkuk now has another problem. And he prays. Four, God answers. And then Habakkuk comes to a place of praise. He has a problem, God answers. He's got another problem, God answers. And comes to a place of praise. He starts at this place of questioning and frustration and confusion. And by the end of the book, we'll come to a place of praise. He starts at a place of doubt and he'll end at a place of faith. And my hope this morning is that we're able to go on that journey with him. Perhaps in your life, there's a place of struggle or frustration or doubt or questioning. May we be able to come to a place of praise. Habakkuk, verse 1 of chapter 1, unfolds like this. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw, O Lord, how long shall I cry? Remember, this is not just a brief moment. The book's going to cover six decades. How long shall I cry? And you will not hear, even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless, and justice never goes forth. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. We'll stop there. You know who he's talking about? It's not just society. It's not just the world. He's talking about God's people. He's seeing God's people live so evilly and so unjustly. He even says the law, there's no law. There's no righteousness. There's no justice. The righteous people that there are, they're surrounded by the wicked. And Habakkuk comes to God and says, I can see this. Can't you? Like, I can see that. I can't make sense of this. God, when are you going to do something? How long? I'm crying out to you. I'm crying. It doesn't look like you're doing anything. God, have you seen your kids lately? It's like he's saying that, God, you got to do something about your kids. Have you ever seen a family where it seems like they're outgunned by their kids? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Oh, look what you've done. And say, parents, step in. We're not raising children. We're raising adults. I can see it. And that's Habakkuk's cry. I can see it. God, won't you step in? You got to do something. And they weren't somehow just misbehaving children learning. They were set on evil and injustice. The opening line of the prophet's book, it said, the burden which he saw, and clearly he didn't only see it, he felt it. And there was a heaviness in his heart as he cries. Have you been there? Have you been in the place, how come, God? How come, how long till you answer? I can see this. And we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children. God, surely you can see this. You're all-powerful and all-loving. God, won't you step in now? What are you waiting for? There's evil all around. God, would you hear my case? I believe in you. I'm following you. I'm trusting you. But things are going from bad to worse. And you're not doing anything. A place of doubt, a place of questioning, a place of frustration. And what I like about Habakkuk is what I hear, and maybe you hear too, it's honesty without accusation. God, I'm not blaming you. I'm looking to you. God, I'm not saying this is your fault, that these bad things that happen and are happening, I'm not blaming you, but I am coming with honesty. It's not an accusation. It's, God, I don't understand. How come this is happening? How come you're not doing anything? How come I'm not seeing your intervention? He takes his burden to the Lord. I've faced this, I don't know how many times, in praying for people who are sick. Even this past week, my wife Audrey, who we're just so grateful, has been alleviated from migraine headaches there's been a significant shift, and she has so many less. But she can remember when she was 6 years old coming home from school, being sick to her stomach in the driveway of their long acreage home, and just going into the dark to cover up her head because the pain was so severe. I have carried her into the Peter Lougheed to see the neurologist. Just terrible pain. Many of you know what this is like. And this past week, man, she had a headache that just wiped her out. It's like, God, how long? Because I know seeing her in this pain, it doesn't just crush me, it crushes you. There's a lady who came up for prayer yesterday at camp and has battled with such chronic pain for so long. She came up for prayer, and I was the one praying for her. And I felt so faith-filled and so helpless. God, I believe and we believe and we're doing what we know to do, laying hands. And I can't tell you how many times I just prayed, set her free, heal her, God, heal her, set her free. Believing that something was going to take place. And then after I'm done praying, kind of look at her like, did God? There's no indication that God did. We come to these places and say, God, how long? Maybe you're here. Maybe you're looking for healing. Maybe you're looking for a job. Maybe you're looking for freedom from something that's got you bound and trapped. You cried out to God, God, I don't want to be this way. Set me free. Set me free. But Habakkuk, he took this burden to the Lord without accusation, but with questioning, with confusion. God, how long? Because I know you're able. Remember, the first part was Habakkuk's got a problem. He goes to God, then God answers. And here's the problem. God answered, and he said, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do, and you're not going to believe it. In fact, all the people around you are not going to believe it. He said this, I'm going to bring the Babylonians. I'm going to bring the Babylonians to chastise the people. I am going to bring the Babylonians to Judah. I am raising up the empire essentially to destroy this. And these are the words, if we followed along in scripture, we'd find these words. God says this about the Babylonians. Here's the ones I'm going to bring. He said, they are dreadful, terrible, fierce, and violent. And these are the ones I'm bringing. And in fact, God would say, and when they come, they are going to give credit to their gods for this victory. And Habakkuk, can you imagine, God, this is your answer. Is there anyone else up there that I can talk to? Because this doesn't work. This doesn't fit. Look what it says in verses 12 to 13. Here is a prophet now confused. God, I'm praying for an answer. And this is the answer you give me. You're bringing the Babylonians. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. And he makes his declaration. I said, we're not going to be totally wiped out. We shall not die. And then he says this, oh Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. Oh rock, you have marked them for correction. They're the ones going to come bring us correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? Will you wink at their treachery? God, you're going to let them get away with this? God, I know that we're bad. And that's what I'm crying out for. I'm crying out for justice and righteousness and for you to straighten things out. I know we're bad, but they're a whole different kind of evil. And you're bringing them to tune us in? He will say that they are going to string us up on hooks and hang us on a net. They're going to praise their nets, their gods, for this victory. And you're going to allow that? How long will you wink at them? How long are you going to let them get away with that? And Habakkuk explains to God that in his heart, so he's got this answer. In Habakkuk's heart, this is what he's going to do. He is going to take the posture of a watchman. In the Old Testament times, there would be someone who would stand on the wall, a watchman on the wall, and would look out. And he says, this is the posture I'm going to take. I'm going to be a watchman. I'm going to stand on the rampart, and I'm going to discover God's answer now. And when I get it, I'm going to tell the people. That's what the watchman would do. They would bring a warning. Ezekiel talks all about the watchman who would bring a warning and how much trouble they would be in if they didn't bring that warning. And Habakkuk says, that's my posture. That's what I'm going to do. I brought my burden to you. You answered, that wasn't the answer I was looking for. And so I am going to keep listening. Watch this. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1. After God has spoken, he's bringing the Babylonians. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer. Would you say this with me? When I am corrected. His posture is this. God is right. Everything I'm hearing from God right now doesn't fit the nature and character of God, doesn't fit my understanding of him. But I know this, that he's right, And when I question and ask, I will be the one that needs to be corrected, not him. Sometimes we face things like that. We bring our burdens to the Lord, our prayer requests to the Lord, and we get answers that seem to make no sense. Sometimes it seems the answer is so completely contrary to his nature and character and what we believe about God, what we understand about God. The Bible says you lay hands on the sick and they recover. I lay hands on the sick and they die. God's our provider. Praying to God for provision, for financial provision. Go to the mailbox expecting a check instead of a speeding ticket. You pray for a promotion at work. You discover that you're laid off. You say, God. Habakkuk gets an answer that he wasn't expecting. Babylonians are coming. But he continues to posture himself to do what? To listen to God. Not to shake his fist angry at God. Not to be frustrated with God. Confused of the answer, absolutely. But I'm going to listen. I'm going to set my heart and my ear and my eyes upon the Lord. Right now, I really don't understand. So I'm going to dig in and watch. God, my eyes are on you. I got nowhere else. God replies again. Verse 2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. He says, write the vision down, make it clear, that he who runs may read it. Though it tarry, it will come. A couple pictures that help us with this. With this picture of write it down, that he reads it may run. When we lived in Airdrie a number of years ago, I remember near our house at an intersection, there was a Little Caesar's Pizza, and they had high school kids working for them who would stand out on the road. You ever seen them with a sign that would say, and it said this, medium pepperoni pizza, hot and fresh, $5, ready now. They'd play guitar with the sign, and they'd spin it, and they'd turn around, whatever. But sitting at a light, you could read the sign and go, just like that. Doesn't take long. You read it, got it, and go. They would do that for marathons when you need to get a message to the runner. It can't be pepperoni pizza, ingredients, none of that. You can pay by, it's just read it, got it, go. That he who reads it can get it and go. And then the other thing is about the runner who reads the message. Remember, the watchman would take the message. You can read it. And then he who runs with the message to share the message can do that. Just at a glance, you can get it. Sometimes parents do this with their kids. You know, just a glance. Sometimes husbands and wives do that with each other. Just a glance. You know, it's okay, stop that. You know, time to go. Make the message clear. The message was, God will judge the wicked, and he will judge the Babylonians. And he says this, the just shall live by faith. Let's read this verse 4, Habakkuk chapter 2. It says, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him. And then, but the contrary, the contrast is this, but the just shall live by his faith. But the just shall live by his faith. Three times in the New Testament, this is quoted. When we talk about the major prophets and the minor prophets, Habakkuk is a minor prophet. It's not minor in significance or importance. It has to do with the length of the book. It's three chapters. Three times this verse is quoted in the New Testament. It's quoted in Romans. It's quoted in Galatians. It's quoted in Hebrews. Each time the writer of those books emphasizes a different part of this verse. In Romans, it will be the just. In Galatians, it will be shall live. And in Hebrews, it will be by faith. In Romans, many will be familiar with this verse that says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation, for the Jew first and then the Greek. And then it says this in verse 17. For it is in the righteousness of God, for it is in the righteousness of God, it's revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. This is how you are declared righteous. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God to salvation. This is how you are made right with God. It's the power of the gospel. The just. That's where our justice, that's where our righteousness, our right standing with God comes. The just, in Galatians it says this, Galatians the book, all about living in the Spirit. Who has bewitched you? Who has put you in a trance? Who has hypnotized you? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect in the flesh? He talks about living in the Spirit, and here it is in Galatians. Galatians 3:11. But so no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just, and here it is, shall live by faith. We continue to look all about living in the Spirit. And then Hebrews focuses on by faith, living faithfully, looking for the return of Christ. Listen to this verse. It's very interesting because the author of Hebrews adjusts the quote. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. He doesn't say the vision. He's talking about Christ now. He will come. You rest assured of this. Jesus is coming back by faith. Now the just shall live by faith. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. And it's these times this verse is quoted in the New Testament. The just shall live by faith. And over and over and over again, we're reminded of our walk with Christ. But in Habakkuk chapter 2, God will say this as he's explaining to the prophet. It's not always going to be like this. The Babylonians, there will be their day too. I'm not going to just let that be forever. In verse 14 of Habakkuk chapter 2, God's talking about the future and unfolds this. And he says this, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk, it's not going to be forever where the people are chastised. We're going to change this. And all flesh is going to see the glory of the Lord. The earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, just like the waters cover the sea. And then he'll give this promise in verse 20, concludes the Lord's reply. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silent before him. Silence before him. And so we come to this place. We recognize there's a time to bring our burdens to the Lord and a time to question. But at the end of the day, it's a time to remain silent and remember God is holy. God is holy and he's in his temple. And we will just stand silent before him, recognizing that he is God and we are not. He brings his burden. He brings his questions. He hears the answers. Not only that God will intervene in different ways, but at the end of the day, the whole earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And then Habakkuk strikes up the band. Then he begins to sing. We don't know if the whole chapter 3 is a song or if it's just the latter part, the poetic part. But in chapter 3, he will remind God. He will ask God, in your wrath, would you remember mercy? Because I know who you are. In your wrath, in your judgment, when you bring the Babylonians, remember mercy, oh God. Don't wipe us out. Remember mercy. And then he'll rehearse the intervention of God and the salvation of God and just who he knows God to be and what God has done. And we come to the closing verses of this book. In verse 17 of chapter 3, it says this. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation, the Lord my God. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on high hills to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. No matter what happens. See, he's not saying, I'm talking from a place of blessing. Though everything goes sideways, though that happens, though my situation doesn't change, though when I come and receive prayer and it seems like nothing happens and can't see it right now, I will still rejoice in the God of my salvation, because at the end of the day, that's what matters. The Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like deer's feet, makes me walk on high hills. I pronounce hills specifically because I have a friend, Naomi, who thinks the scripture says he makes me walk on high heels. She loves shoes, and she's got a verse for it. But God places me and takes us from a place of uncertainty and confusion and frustration and questioning. That sure sounds like a valley. And he takes us to a mountaintop and gives us sure footing. And we rejoice in the God of our salvation. Even if we don't understand why he's doing what he is doing or seemingly not doing, even if our situation doesn't change, we will rejoice in the Lord God, the God of our salvation. Habakkuk said this when he knew that there were going to be hard times ahead. And loved ones, I don't think it takes a lot of effort to look at the church and determine that there are going to be hard times ahead in these last days, but we are going to see a harvest of souls. But for the church, things will get harder. And there will be times of struggles and frustration. God, we thought you were going to, and God, you didn't. And God, where are you? And I would just leave us with this thought. Do you remember what I said his name meant? Embrace. Embrace. This morning, we need to make a choice. Are we going to choose to embrace fear, worry, anxiety, stress, doubt, confusion, frustration, questions? Or are we going to allow those things to embrace us? It sometimes seems like they just can cover us like a blanket. Just embrace us, just to smother us. Or are we going to choose to embrace that God is sovereign, and that he is in control, and that he loves us, and that as we bring our burdens to him, even when answers are not what we expect, we can embrace a place of silent trust. Remember, stand before the Lord, be silent, recognizing his sovereignty. Will we come to a place of silent trust and audible praise? That's what Habakkuk did. Came to a place of silent trust and audible praise, for we live by faith.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.